Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Think Tank. Here we have conversations about everything. And during our time together, we aim to awaken the mind, energize the body, and connect the spirit. Our topic for today is make it last forever. And today we're going to explore tips and threats that affect the longevity of relationships. I'm Saquita, and I'm here with my amazing co-host, an earthly lord, James.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Think Tank. Make it last forever. No, it's not the Keith Sweat song title. It's what we're talking about today. So get ready for a wonderful ride.
Yes, we want to just say happy Monday to everyone. We hope that you had a great weekend, an exciting weekend. What about you, James? I heard some yelling and stuff going on. Did you have an exciting weekend?
Yes, actually I did. The new football league, XFL, came out. And it was impressive. You know, they made some changes to the rules of the NFL game, and they brought these new rules to their new league, which they started with 8 teams, and they started on national television, which was great.
Yeah.
And the players were, I mean, these were good players, you know, that maybe had some instances where something happened, they got injured, and they're getting a second opportunity. So their play was like, it was like college and high school where you're playing for the love of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could see that out on the field. And what was so refreshing was to see that they took something that we don't like tampered with, football. We don't want you messing with.
Don't mess
with our football.
Don't talk
right?
to me doing football. Yeah. Don't ask me questions.
But they took a liberal approach and they made some changes. And it was phenomenal.
Yeah, I remember watching one of the games with you before I went off to do my studies, and I actually understood the game better than I do in the NFL when watching the NFL play, because they were like right down on the field talking to the players, talking
yes.
to the coaches, and they took you behind the scenes, let you see what was going
that,
on.
That was so impressive.
Yeah, that was impressive. And so I like the change component. And taking out what was not necessarily working and replacing it with stuff that does work for a larger audience to me.
Yeah, and I don't want to get on this topic too long, but I do want to go back to one of the rule changes. You know, a lot of times in the NFL, they'll have instant replay, but you don't know what's going on in with the replay guy and what they're doing. You see the call and you're like, oh, I know what's, they got to overturn this,
right?
But in the XFL, they show the person, referee, that's off somewhere else that's doing the replay, and you could see it, and you can be part of it, see the reasoning, and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so it brings you into it. They also talking to the coaches and players while the game is going on, getting even more insight to so it's like, man, I'm really part of this.
Yeah. I think you, the XFL, NFL football sports, you know, for guys, that's kind of a lot like relationships. So this is going to be an interesting topic as far as, you know, how we bring in the tips and the threats, because we could probably take a lesson from the XFL and say, you know, look, I want to know what changes I need to make, and how do I bring my partner in so they can feel like they are a actual part of what's going on, because sometimes we can start making changes without letting the person know we making changes, and they sitting there like,
where
this came from? We got a problem. I don't know nothing about it. You upset with me. I don't know why you haven't brought me in. You haven't showed me the review, the replay. I don't know why I'm being penalized. All I know is you sitting over in the corner somewhere.
Salty.
And so, yeah, I think this is going to be good. So you definitely ought to enjoy this topic. So tips and threats as to that can affect the longevity of your relationship. So I'm going to give out the tips and James is going to give out the threats.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the threats. I'm going to start it off, and you may not agree with this, but I want you to hang on and just hear me out. One of the threats to the longevity of a relationship is religion.
Oh, wow.
religion. But let me tell you why.
I'm not surprised.
And let me tell you how I got this, all right? First of all, you know, you're always hearing, or you often hear that people say there's more divorces in the church than there is in the regular secular world outside of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to, since we're talking about relationships, I wanted to see if that statement was actually true.
Mm-hmm.
So I did some research and some surveys, and it showed that that's not necessarily true, but in some areas it is true.
Okay.
For instance, so the study was, they went county by county in each state throughout all the United States doing a survey about divorces and who got divorced. When they came to counties that had were predominantly either conservative or evangelical in their religious beliefs, they were more prone to have divorce.
Wow.
Now, let me give you a little background on evangelicals and conservative Christians, according to the survey's view, is that they're more stringent in their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Means they don't deviate. They're rigid. Yes, thank you. They're rigid. Also, they just hang on to the title and they don't necessarily practice.
Whoa.
So although they identify as Christian and they identify as conservative, or they identify as evangelical, or but they don't actually live it out.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And so I think that that's why they picked out that group to show that, in that group, the divorce rate is higher.
Right, because it's falseness up in there.
Yes.
Because
you're not actually living out your truth. So in that way, religion is a threat to your relationship.
Oh, wow. You know, I can definitely see that. So you said they went county by county, and in the states, in certain states where there were more conservatives and evangelicals, the divorce rates were higher.
Yes.
And so that's just interesting because, you know, you do hear a lot as far as, the divorce rate is higher in the church. And so people just kind of give the church in itself a bad name. But the reality is that there's a thinking, a mentality that's along with that. That one is, I'm saying I am, but I'm not really living it.
Yes.
And two, there's that rigidness there, or that unwillingness to change, just like we were talking about, you know, exploring what works and what doesn't work, and then being willing to change that for the betterment of your relationship. And so I can definitely see how that would be a threat. So a tip for being able to have longevity in your relationship as it relates to faith, bringing faith in, because I get asked all the time, you know, how can I get my mate to pray with me? How can I get them more to go to church with me? I want a man of God or a woman of God, so to speak. And so I would say, number one, live your faith. You know, don't fake your faith. Live your faith. And living your faith does not look like just kind of I'm witnessing to you every day. I'm trying to get you to go to the altar, or you know, I'm doing the salvation prayer. Living your faith is incorporating people inside of it, like we were just talking about. Like they become a part of it. It's your own standard.
Yes.
And that faith is, that part of your faith is kindness. Part of your faith is patience. Part of your faith is a belief and hope and love. And so living those things, you know, will definitely attract the person. And so live it, and don't make your faith an obligation or a competition. Because for instance, and I hear this a lot with women, a man doesn't want to compete with God. A man doesn't want to, he can't win.
But you're trying to keep putting me up against God.
Right.
I keep getting knocked out.
And he doesn't want to compete with your pastor either.
No.
You know, because no man wants to hear you praise another man all the time, because men go where they score points at. And so the more And I heard Bishop Jakes talks about this a lot. The more you clap for him, whatever claps the loudest, whoever claps the loudest is where he will go. Hence, back to the football games. You know, they like the praise. They like the claps. And so whenever, whatever stages he will continue to visit are the stages where he's going to get the most claps. So whenever we're talking about faith, you can't make the God, you can't make religion, you can't make the pastor, the church, the organization you're in, you can't clap louder for it than you are clapping for him and what he's doing, because what happens is then he won't join to your faith because he's too busy competing with it.
And so I want to jump in here too, because there's so much gold and good nuggets in here. Now, the first thing that you talked about when you talked about a tip is being like authentic, mm-hmm. and living out your faith. Mm-hmm. And that's why, according to that survey, that those folks are getting divorced, because they wasn't living out their truth.
Absolutely.
And they wasn't true to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tie it in with the man that's watching you, the person that says, I can't get my man to pray, he won't go to church, mm-hmm. or vice versa, whichever way it is. It's because if we're not seeing you living out your faith authentically, for instance, when we got together, you know, I was claiming Allah. As a matter of fact, the only reason I talked to you because you had a Bible and I just wanted to crush you.
Right.
Right? Okay.
Right.
So, but what I learned was that you lived out your faith. You stayed true to who you were, right?
Mm-hmm.
You stayed true to the essence of the works that Jesus did, you doing those things, you being kind, you being nice. And although I came at you and I wasn't nice at all,
mm-mm.
matter of fact, I came to crush Christianity, but you gave me a kind word. You was very polite. You allowed me to speak. You allowed me to talk and say all my negative things about Jesus and mm-hmm. everyone else. And then you came in like Jesus with kindness mm-hmm. and truth.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And here it is 18 years later, not marriage years, but 18 years since that encounter, that you're still living out that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was my conversion? My conversion was you speaking truth, and you not only speaking it, but walking in that same truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what drew me to, okay. But in that, keeping that truth, you also was open to listen to things I had to say that were different.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And learn things and being open and keeping that open mind, like you said, because that unwillingness to change and unwillingness to say, you know what, I can't just dismiss all this person's beliefs and everything that they came up knowing or everything that shaped them.
Yes.
Because the reality is two people in a relationship are not going to have the same mindset on everything. And you have to learn to be okay with that. And where is it that we can work together that's going to say this is a better thing for our entire household? Or because we have to be willing to explore that even every belief system has some faultiness to it. You know, so we have to say, well, okay, what things are actually true? What things actually work? Where do I need to grow at? Where do I need to evolve at? And so I think that definitely strengthens the relationship, because like you said, when they did the survey, and it's in certain places, you know, probably Bible Belt areas, areas that are strict, real strict in there.
Oh, it's a lot of southern states.
I think when you look at that, you may say, okay, if I want longevity in my marriage, you may have to consider moving.
Absolutely, because they were saying, even though with those surveys, even the folks who weren't evangelical or weren't conservative, but they lived in those areas, they was influenced because that's the culture of that area.
Oh, wow.
So even if you're not claiming that, not living that out, not claiming that, but because you're in that area, mm-hmm. because you're in that culture, it's just like families.
Yeah.
You know, families, there's certain, this is our culture.
Yeah.
Okay, and now you're influenced by that culture.
Absolutely.
And to break away from that, that's why when like someone goes off to college or mm-hmm. someone goes into the military, and then like when I went to the military, you know, before I went to the military, man, I was a roughneck. You know,
right.
I was out there. And when I came back, you know, and I was so different, it was like, oh, you think you're better than everyone because you in the military. Like, what are you talking about? But I carried myself different because I broke away from certain cultural patterns was the cultural norm, hanging out on the block, doing this, doing stuff, shady stuff, doing stuff that mm-hmm. could get you in trouble, taking risks. And I was like, oh, I can't do that. And but I broke away from the culture and I got to see, experience something new.
Absolutely. And it's interesting how obligation to a culture, we will stay obligated at the cost of love, at the cost of better life, at the cost of better health even. This is what we do. This how we eat. This how we... So we will give up stuff in order to stay obligated to the loyalties and ties of the culture. So, you know, I would just suggest too, like if you are in a relationship right now and you arguing or you are trying to see about getting married, consider where you're living at. Consider what's around you, because a lot of times without even realizing it, we become programmed to the culture that's around us and we take on a belief system that may not be actually working for what we're the goals that we're trying to set for our marriage. And so that's big.
Absolutely. And another one I want to bring out, because we covered that pretty good, although there's always meat left on the bone for that topic. Another threat is education.
Mm-hmm.
And let me bring that in, because the less education you had, according to the survey, the more likely it is that your relationship wasn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So those that were more educated, all right? And I'm going to bring that education piece also into the cultural aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's tax season right now.
Right.
All right, so I'm going to bring the cultural part of this tax season. I see a lot of people on Facebook talking about the trip they about to take, the purse they about to get, the different little things. And that's in one culture, all right?
Uh-huh.
But another culture, they over there talking about how they're going to invest that money for that money to start making money for them, not so it looks like they have money.
Absolutely.
Okay, so,
absolutely.
But if you're from that culture, but you went off and you got you an education,
mm-hmm,
on how, and so now you know more about how money works, and you're breaking away from your cultural norm, and you're investing that return, if you got a return, because you were educated on it.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, education helps you make better decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're educated and your relationship is going to be better off because you have the ability to make better decisions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can see definitely how that can be a threat, because even we learn psychologically when you're arguing with an uneducated person or a person who operates in ignorance, and ignorance is not having the ability to learn, is having the unwillingness to learn. And so when somebody has the full ability to learn or do something different or to increase their wisdom, then and they don't take it,
mm-hmm,
it makes being with that person very difficult, because it goes back to that unwillingness,
yep,
to change.
Yep, and that's why they don't do it. Yes.
And coming from a woman's standpoint, so to give the tip on here, the ancient book that we talk about, the scripture tells us too, that a wise woman builds her house. And so wisdom is not the quantity of what you build, but it is the quality of what you build.
Yes.
Wisdom is about the quality of what you put out. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in, I gotta get quantity, I gotta make it look like something, but it's the quality of what you know that actually does affects change and it has a greater impact. And education gives what you know quality. Because you can know how to go, you know, in the house, do something with your hand, bootleg it, rig it up. But then when you have education and actually set structure and quality to what you know, then you open doors that were normally closed to you. And that works very well in a relationship, because when you have a person who can bring quality to the relationship, then they can take you up into a better tax bracket. They can take you up into a better way of having peace in the house, because even your arguments have a better quality. You know, because we can have differences, we may have a disagreement, but we're not arguing in an unhealthy way, because we both have the understanding that, okay, there are things that are steps or structure or ways to communicate that is better than me just calling you outside your name or me getting everybody involved. So education will bring a certain quality to what it is that you are doing and presenting in your relationship.
And with that being said, that education, I don't want you to think that, you have to have a doctor's degree, master's, and all these other things. You can be, because a lot of the more famous people have educated themselves in different ways.
Right.
But they educated themselves. So it's not necessarily about the degree, but the seeking of the learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have that education and when you have that desire to seek learning and you do seek learning, you use that not only with your different areas of your life, but you use it in your relationship.
Absolutely.
So now I'm going to take my learning and my education and bring it over here to my relationship, and I'm going to learn, I'm going to study my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to study what she likes. I'm going to study her behaviors. I'm going to study even her aura. I can tell when something's off before she even says anything.
Absolutely.
Because I study all things Sequita.
Yes, okay? You do.
So when you're educating, so you're looking for ways to know the person and know relationships, and you look for ways to make them successful.
Absolutely. And you are great at that. You are great at that. And that's one of the things we always say about each other. I study all things James. You study all things Sequita. And even like this weekend when you were watching the XFL, I watched some of it with you. But then I had to go study, you know, because I'm in school. And education plays a big part of who I am and what I do. And so I had like 4 exams this weekend. And you were doing your thing, but you also were encouraging to everything that I had to do. And I think that right there is why there's a longevity, because when you are in a relationship, you have to continue to work on yourself outside of the other person.
Yes.
You can't just do it, you know, okay, I'm going to wait till they do something, then, you know, I'm going to do something. You have to continue to grow who you are. And sometimes we get complacent. And we just, you know, stop doing everything that's exciting to us, or, you know, and growing ourselves. So be willing to grow yourself outside of the other person. And that person will respect that, you know, because they love you. And then they will come into that. It's just like, you know.
It's also like a push.
Because it is.
If you're over there, we say we're going to start working now. And I'm still procrastinating, and you start,
mm-hmm.
and you just, well, he keep procrastinating. I'm going to start working out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I'm going to be like, okay, let's join in, but let's not do this Pilates or whatever
right.
this girly stuff. Let's do something a little different. unless you're going to do the dancing with the heels exercises. Anyway, I got off track. But what I was saying is, if you start anyway, even without the person, bettering yourself, doing mm-hmm. things, it's going to encourage them. They're going to see that, and they're going to have a desire to want to that ignite something in them to do likewise.
And you have to be willing to do that before, during, and after you get into the marriage. And I think, you know, having something before the person comes, you know, this is, you know, I got something I'm working on already. And so that gives you a goal set that says, you know, I'm not going to stop just because I get into the relationship. During, and then after you get to the marriage and you're kind of settled in there and things are growing, you still have to continue to say, I am going to do that. And then I also will give this tip. Don't marry or get into a relationship because of looks. Brains have to play a factor. And a lot of times we get caught up in this, and not to the point where you should just not care about it at all, but brains have to play a higher factor than looks, because, and I think in this day and age too, people can get caught up in, I so want something to accomplish, that they'll even use the looks of a person to be their accomplishment mm-hmm. in a relationship. And I'll choose based on, look who I got on my arm. You know, especially if I've been a woman who's been single for a while, you know, and I'm wanting somebody, and I want to show that I haven't failed, or I have done something.
Mm-hmm.
You will get somebody who looks the part,
mm-hmm.
who makes you feel better about yourself in public, but in private, you still feel alone and messed up, and the relationship is not where it needs to be, because you chose based off looks and you didn't get anybody who can inspire your mind, inspire your thinking, who can take you to another level, because they have something else. Because I hear women say this now, oh, that person is boring. Well, what are you talking about? You know, because that person doesn't do this, but boring is something that can change. Stupidity and ignorance is a person that's unwilling to change.
Yeah.
You know, you have have to work a whole lot harder than a person who says, because we can find stuff to do. Yeah, you can become exciting.
Women can get a makeover. They can put on a weave. They can, they can put on a lot of different stuff.
Right.
Say, right?
Right. I need to order me some hair right now.
Anyway, all right. Weave it if you can't achieve it. Whatever. But, you know, you can put clothes up on someone. You can dress them up. You can do those things. But, two, when you're basing things on how they look, appearances, not just how, and you said appearance of the person and how it appears to other people that I have something. But here we go again, back to the survey, when people appear to be Christians or they identify with Christians, but they didn't actually do the things of it. So I'm going to go back this with the person that's, they got something that looks good and it looks like we are successful. It looks like we got a great relationship, but that don't mean anything where all you have is the look.
Right.
You don't have the essence. You don't have the love. You don't have the caring. You don't have the concern. You don't have the things that really make you and make the relationship what it is. You just have the appearance. So would you rather have the appearance with the Denzel look-alike, or would you rather have the actual thing with whatever Tyrone looks like and take Tyrone to the mall and get a haircut, you know? Fix a lot of that stuff.
Absolutely. So on that tip on education, go take you a class. Go back to school if you need to. Do an online course, read some books, get your education level up, because that actually increases longevity. All right, so I'm liking the way this is going. We got a couple of more tips for you, but we're going to take a break and we'll be right back after this break.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Superhero Think Tank. We're discussing make it last forever, making sure your relationship can last. We left off talking about some different threats and some tips. We talked about religion. We talked about education. Now, another threat that could be adverse to your relationship lasting forever is age. During the survey that they did, and through every county in the United States, one of the things that they found is those who got together or relationships started at an early age normally fell short and ended up in divorce. One of the reasons they say that is, and it makes sense, is that you're not thinking all the way fully to the capacity you have. You're still immature.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're making decisions on an immature level. Like, not calling no names, but some folks around in this house that are, you know, a certain age, talking about marriage and they love this person. And I understand what you're saying, but you don't know what you're talking about yet.
Right.
Because, you know, you're still young. So age can be a threat, not only just the fact about being young, but also the fact that if you get to a certain age, you know, then they said that those folks are so set in their ways that they wasn't flexible enough for a relationship.
Right, conservative. They wasn't flexible enough for the relationship. And it's like, well, now I just want companionship. I don't even want to really get married, but I'll get married anyway based on, you know, how I want to look or where I'm located at in the demographic world. And so, but I know that I'm not really where I want to change anything. And so it becomes hard to deal with a person or to have longevity with a person who doesn't want to change. And it also becomes hard to deal with a person who is changing all the time because they're still discovering themselves. And you kind of feel like I'm on this roller coaster ride and I don't know where to go. Actually, a professor of economics, he said that the age group that has the most divorces are the baby boomers. And that's between 1946 to 1964. And these groups, that's the group that's more prone to divorce because they got married earlier. They got married younger because they kind of had to.
And it goes back to the cultural thing, too.
Yes.
If you grow up in this era and you marry or you burn.
Yeah.
All right? So, well, they
you're right.
Instead of you going out and having sex, all right, you go ahead and get married so you can have the sex.
Right.
All right? But you only get married to have sex.
And once you had it so many times, you're like, okay, now what are we doing together?
Yeah. And I come to find out I don't like this person.
I don't like you.
I just like doing it.
Right. And even after a while, that's not even exciting me anymore, because when you don't like the person, it changes the quality of what you're doing with the person.
Yes.
And so then the quantity starts to drop, and then you kind of just start
tying together.
Right. You start drifting apart. So the tip on that would be, psychologically, what we find that the ages, the best ages to get married are between the ages of 25 to 45. Now, that 25 can alter just a bit, anywhere from 23 to 25 on up to 45. And the reason that is because you have this thing called a prefrontal cortex. That prefrontal cortex is your judgment zone. And that judgment zone, that prefrontal cortex, is not fully developed, or the hole that's in the top of your head doesn't fully close up until about the age of 24, 25 years old, which is when you start making better choices, better decisions. So your judgment zone gets better after those ages, which is why you kind of start establishing who you are, standards. You start looking into, I'm not playing games anymore. I'm more, you know, I'm after something. I'm more goal set up. I can follow through on commitments. I'm not still, you know, fudging. I can decide the kind of person I am, and I can be that person with somebody else. And so if you're still asking yourself, or if you're still like, you have to decide, who am I? What kind of person I am when I'm with this person versus when I'm with my friends, when I'm with my family, like the person I'm in a relationship with. Am I the same person with them that I am with my friends and I am with my family? Because if that person changes in each role, what I mean, if the core of who you are, the essence of who you are changes with each role, then you're still finding yourself and you're still not necessarily comfortable with yourself enough to be in a long-lasting relationship, because who you are should be who you are in every setting. And
so I just want to chime in there too, just to give like an illustration, because I see it playing out in my mind.
Okay.
My visual spatial pillar is just activated. So I see what that kind of looks like is, with your friends, mm-hmm. you're this conservative person. With your family, you're this conservative person. But in order to be with Johnny, you got to be out there doing some different stuff that you're not used to.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be with Johnny, now you find yourself at a club. And now you find yourself in different areas of town that you normally wouldn't be in, just to be with Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a case where you're not the same person at your core. Because if at your core, just to be with this other person, you got to change the core,
mm-hmm.
then that's off.
Right. That's where you say, okay, look, I'm still developing who I am, and until I get comfortable enough with it, then another person won't be, you know, comfortable enough with it, because people kind of go, they progress with you off of the energy that you give out first. And so also you have to begin to, in those age ranges, that you start to establish your individual communication preferences. And so being willing to do that, you usually can do that after you start, you know, within those, that age bracket, 25 to 45, because now as an individual, I can begin to set or tell somebody else, this is the way I prefer to communicate. I know, like, in relationships, when people are, one of the main issues that they have is communication issues when we are in counseling. And we do so much of this, I'm communicating, or what I call communicating, but it is a false communication, because the person that's talking or the person that's listening, they're doing stuff like mind reading, fortune telling, all those kinds of stuff. And it doesn't get into actual communication. So you're talking at each other, but not to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But when you become bold enough, confident enough, educated enough to say, you know what, I can set my communication preferences and tell the person, I prefer to talk like this, or I hear you clearer, or I respond better when you talk to me in this way versus this way. But if you just joining in, coming into every conversation, and you just arguing back and forth, or you just completely shut down from the conversation and withdraw, that's kind of still a sign of immaturity, because things have to be talked about in a relationship. Communication has to happen. But in order to have communication, you first have to have commune. And the communion part has to be, we have to fellowship with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We have to know each other on a level to be able able to say, this is what I prefer.
And you have to know yourself, too.
Yes.
That's the first communion.
Yes.
So, yeah, I agree with all those things. So age does definitely play a part in that. Another thing is money.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And all these things tie together. I mean, if not necessarily lack of money or because you can have a lot of money and not and still have some of these other factors. But what they did find out in the survey that I looked at is that those who had little money had a lot of divorce.
Yes.
Because money played a major role in their breakup.
Because you spend so much time arguing about money or looking at the other person being frustrated. That frustration tends to have higher stress levels. Those higher stress levels lead to higher cortisol levels. Those higher cortisol levels lead to lower intimacy, lower communication, which again kind of shifts the marriage apart.
It all ties together.
And then it also ties back into that money thing. Lower incomes also tie back into education.
Yep.
People who have lower education tend to have lower incomes. And so, and they also live in areas where the lower incomes, you know.
So the culture of that lower income area that they're in, they have to do a lot to break out of to get something that's going to be more successful.
And
more obstacles against them.
Psychologically, people who have lower incomes, live in lower cultures, have lower education, also are people who are very religious because they need something to make it all okay,
yes,
to justify. And so those people rely more on religious connections and bonding, mm-hmm, in order to make them
to
feel
make
better.
Yeah, because other people are using drugs, other people are using sex, other people are using food. People use all sorts of stuff,
right,
to make things better.
And more educated people or more wealthy people are using vacations, they're living,
yes,
they're going off philanthropy, they're
impacting the
world.
When you're in the midst of
the
struggle,
right,
only thing you have is to, and don't get me wrong, because I know about the struggle.
Absolutely.
You know, I know about the struggle. I know about just trying to put some food on the table, trying to keep the electric on, and you're in survival mode, not,
yes,
living mode.
Yes.
So when you have that money aspect in and you're in survival mode, it gets to be every man for themselves, and it's hard to try to take care of someone else, and you can't take care of yourself, and you're not being able to take care of the relationship, and you're starting to put blame on each other.
Right.
Oh, because you lost the job, because you're not making enough money, because we're driving this car, because you couldn't pay for the medical insurance, and now,
right,
we got this.
Right.
And so there's so much blame and back and forth going on because of the money issue. If we could fix the money issue, but first we might have to fix the education issue. But
right.
So
right. And we might have to move in order to do that.
Yes.
And because there, you know, again, text says money answereth all things. And so it does give you a way to answer things that would not normally be a threat, become a bigger threat when you don't have money. Things that you can, you know, look over easily or answer or respond to quickly because you don't have money. Now you have to put yourself in a place where I don't have the choice. I got to start saying,
yes,
either or instead of both. And then now I'm feeling some type of way, my confidence, my insecurities, childhood stuff that starts, you know, playing up. And then, you know, the religion plays an aspect because now I start running to, you know, hear a word, need a word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for a prophetic word, and whatever somebody else is saying that will give me a little spark of something,
yes,
is what's driving me at,
yes,
that time. But that may not be what's working in my house because people respond to things different way. And while one person is, I need this, where it's a word, some hope, some prayer. The other person is saying, we need an actual answer, or we need some practicality.
We need a plan.
Or we need a plan. We need you
need
to go
budget.
Get a job. We need a budget.
We need you to get off the couch, stop playing them video games. You're 42 years old.
Right. And because sometimes we haven't yet learned how to merge them all together where they all can be a benefit, you know, because not saying one is, but they can be a benefit when used together, because,
yes,
we definitely can pray, but we can also pray with a plan. We can definitely, you know, go to get a word, but we can also speak some words on ourselves,
yes,
and put our words to work,
yes,
and into, okay, okay, now we're going to run a business. We're going to do something to increase our income together, because income definitely helps. And so let me just give you some tips for longevity and relationship as it relates to income. Some practical tips is, if you're in the midst of dating, consider, one, starting budgeting early, you know, yourself. Practice budgeting. Practice good financial habits coming into a relationship, and bring that with you into the relationship, because when you start setting financial habits and budgeting and making sure that you understand how important money is in a relationship, that right there will be beneficial to your mate and to your partner.
And you need to, depending on where the relationship is at, is to know how the other person handles their money.
Right. That's because a conversation that has to be
because
had.
You handling your money correct and they're handling their money, they don't care what their credit score like, and and they don't think a bill's due until it says past due.
Right.
No, we don't pay bills, we pay notices.
Right.
No,
right.
you don't need that in your life. Right. So it depending on where you're at in your relationship, you need to talk about that.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, that can be one of your dates. Taking a financial thing together. And so you got to get creative with how, because times are definitely different. And it takes income, and it takes two parties bringing in that income in order to be able to get to a kind of status that you want to be on. Now, if you're at the point where you say, you know what, we're ready to get engaged, we're ready to get married, well, guess what? We found out that people who spend over $2,000 on their engagement ring are more likely to get divorced, because studies show that the amount spent on the wedding and the engagement ring, it inversely affects the longevity or the amount of time that you will stay in your marriage. That's a big one, because you know
isn't that amazing?
Right. You know how much people are after the ring and the bling, and you know they want the big wedding. I've been waiting all this time and I got my wedding in my head. Well, let me just tell you, studies show, professor of economics did a study, PhD, University of Ohio, said that whenever they spent over $2,000 on a ring, then the marriage ended in divorce, and it increased the rate of divorce by 1.3 times greater to get divorced. And so he suggested that the amount that you should spend on the ring is anywhere between $500 to $1,500 to spend on the ring. And the wedding itself, people who spent over anywhere from $2,000 to $15,000 on the wedding ended in divorce 1.6 times quicker than people who stayed under $1,000 for the wedding. So let me just tell you, the hint or the focus, the goal is not getting married, it is staying married. And in order to do that, you may want to go back in there and say, you know what, we need to do $1,000 wedding. You're going to get this $500 ring and $1,500. We good, but we're going to be 50 years in for $1,500. That's a great investment.
And see, and that's where I wanted to go right there. I'm sitting here thinking that what people are doing when they spend those amounts of money, they're paying for a moment and they're paying for a thing instead of using less money and investing in a lifetime.
Right.
See, they're paying for this moment or the people that were there. Mm-hmm. They're paying for this ring so people can look and talk about the moment that you got that.
Right.
And versus investing in a lifetime and going and doing something different with that money so you don't start off already in the hole.
Right.
Start off in debt. Start off with these things that are over your head. So instead of spending all that money on a ring, spend a little bit of money on a trip to go somewhere with your new
right,
husband or your,
right,
or your new wife,
right,
and experience life together and be thinking forward.
You know, we get asked a lot, you know, what makes our relationship so successful, because, you know, and people like always think, no matter where we go, people always think that we're newlyweds. And they're shocked when we tell them, you know, we're 18 years in and we're not newlyweds. And so, but I do think personally, one of the things that was a big factor is that we didn't have a big wedding. We didn't spend a lot of money on it. We definitely was under $1,000 for the wedding. As a matter of fact, our kids tease us about it because they're like, look, we're still waiting on an actual real wedding. But for us, that wasn't needed. And, you know, you didn't spend a lot of money on my ring starting out. You know, I have, you know, gotten things.
Updates.
Yeah. But starting out, we didn't do that. But what we did invest in was trips. We started out getting to know each other, going places together, and that was one of the things we set for the philosophy of and the framework of how our marriage would work was that we would invest time in doing things together, getting to know each other, and so that's where our money would go. And we didn't have this wedding bills to pay off, and we wasn't concerned with everybody having the little shrimp and cocktail,
and so people can talk about the event.
Right, I don't even think we have a big wedding picture.
The reason why, you know, we look like newlyweds, because every day is the event.
Yes.
For someone else, it was June 25th, 1997. Girl, you look at this dress right here. I was amazing. I was looking cut. You know what? That's great.
Right.
I'm not saying, you know, don't have your wedding, but you need to invest in the relationship, in the life.
Yes.
And life is about living. And the reason people think you're boring, because you ain't even got money to go nowhere else and do something different and see something different. Your only thing is, man, we got to make this money, got to pay these bills.
Right.
And then it's a steady cycle of stress coming in, going away, exploring, seeing, experiencing new with the person that you love or the person that you're in a relationship solidifies the relationships and make you grow together.
Because
you're learning new stuff together, even if it's you're learning money habits together, you're learning everything.
And you don't start off with debt with the wedding, or, you know, even just having kids right out the gate, you know, because again, you need to take time to get to know the person. And in that, children are great, but they are very expensive, and they continue to get expensive as they grow. And the older they get, the more expensive they get. And so a lot of times when you have to start out the gate sharing that time with another person, staying up in the middle of the night.
You're obligated now for the finance.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so all of that puts strain. So if you're thinking about getting married, if you're new into the relationship, or you kind of started, go ahead and set your budget now. Like, look, I know about the wedding, but I'm going to do this for under $1,500 and we're going to call it a day.
Now look too, because there's folks that are listening to this right now. Everyone's at different places. Some people are married. Some people aren't married. Some people haven't never been married, and some people have went through something bad and are trying to do something good. Now, regardless of all these things, the education, the religion, and everything that we talked about, the age, you can make a positive change right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You can come into a relationship with someone that has kids, someone that doesn't have kids, someone at any different age within range, within reason, you know. If you are forward-thinking enough to know that there's certain things we got to have.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And so you set out your standard. You have to bring that in there with you, knowing if this thing's going to work, we got to be able to communicate.
Yes.
I don't care what your age is, how much money you make, because if we can communicate and educate ourselves on the areas that we don't know, then we can be successful, even because we're a blended family.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We were able to make that work because we had to communicate. Well, it was best that we communicated to find the best ways to make this work.
Right.
To deal with another person that's outside, or to deal with the finances that have to go outside the house to take care of people that aren't underneath the roof. But it starts with being in tuned enough to communicate with each other, to find the best path for our family, for our relationship. And if you do those things, no matter where you're at right now, you're going to be able to get there.
Right. And so as we get ready to wrap up this think tank for today, we're going to leave you with some practical exercises you can do whatever stage of the relationship that you are in. And that practical exercise as a tip to increase your relationship is just called a simple check-in. And what you do is you sit down with your partner, you check in. You want to do this about once every 2 weeks if you are in a relationship, or if you even want to be in a relationship, practice checking in with yourself. Practice check-ins. You sit down about every 2 weeks, and once every 2 weeks, and you first list all of the things you appreciate about each other. Just kind of talk to them and start communicating all of the things that you appreciate about the person. If you're still is single right now, start listing all the things you appreciate about yourself. Where you come, what you've done. And then after you do that, you're going to go into what things we can improve on. And you're not just going to say, I need you to do better with the, picking up your clothes
I'm
off the floor.
I
need you to do better. That's not what you're going to do. You're going to, in the improvement, you're going to list how you can improve, you know, what actual steps to take. And if you're asking a person to change a behavior, you tell them actually what that behavior is and how you would like for them to change it that will help you. For instance, if it's, we want to improve on our health. Well, what does that improvement look like? We're going to start exercising together twice a week. Yeah. You know, we're going to start incorporating more vegetables into our diet. So how the improvement happened. And then you're going to end that check-in session with gratitude and reward. So after you talk about the improvement, then you're going to end with gratitude. And gratitude is simply thanking the person for their time, thanking the person for being in your life, thanking the person for all the things, you know, like my husband got me Chick-fil-A this weekend while I was doing all my exams. And that made me so happy because, you know, I was trying to cook and trying to do an exam, but then he was like, he had to have me surprised with Chick-fil-A, which is my favorite, one of my favorite places. And then, so that right there, telling him thank you, you know, a couple of times throughout the day for just doing that is a sign of gratitude. And then after you both, you know, show that gratitude, then you reward yourselves. And so you have bring to that check-in, bring like a box of you can healthy chocolates or chocolate, dark chocolate is a healthy chocolate. You can bring in a movie night or something like that, but or reward yourself for after the check-in. And whether you're single or whether you are in a relationship, you can still do this. Reward yourself for checking in with yourself because you have got to know who you are in order to be able to give it adequately and authentically to another person.
And I'm just going to recommend for those, this is just my recommendation, just no study. If you're married, I think that reward, y'all should do it. Okay. I mean, y'all should get in the room, you know, turn some music on. And we just going to reward ourselves. Make it last forever. Turn that key sweat on.
Turn it on.
Turn off the lights.
And then go in there and just like, this is, we're going to reward ourselves. Yeah. I like that.
Well, that's just my recommendation. You know, I didn't do any study on it, you know. But
I think you've had some study time on that.
Oh, absolutely, girl. I was studying yesterday, girl. Let me tell you. And it works for me. Anyway, but making it last forever.
Yes.
That was our topic for today.
So thank you again for all of our new subscribers and for all of you who are listening. Keep listening. And if you want to become a subscriber, go to anchor.fm/Sequita-Sutton. And while you're there, you can leave us a voice message. And if you leave a voice message, you'll hear it on the show. And any questions that you have, you can go to superherothinktank@gmail.com. Email us there for questions, suggestions, or even just to give any shout out on how you are liking the show. Also, if you want to connect with some of our other material, go to superherotrainers.com. Locating Your Power Button is our training manual. You'll get the training manual, audio book, and an interview that we did there explaining how to actually apply what was in the audio book. And so, as always, we never like to leave our think tank without some positive words of affirmation. And I just want you to breathe them in where you are as we go over it.
Here we go. Thank you for reminding me to keep first things first. My relationship with you, and not a religious mantra, our relationship is forged in grace and truth. Our relationship is guided by love, not trinkets. I do not give to get blessed. I give because I am blessed. I present myself to you because I am one with you. I present my mind to you because it already has your peace. I present my heart to you because it is full of your love. Today I give and receive lasting love.
Selah, we love you, and we'll see you next time on Superhero Think Tank. Remember, superhero saves lives.
And we start with our own.